Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Excuse me. Lord, we just thank you for your word. God, it's life to us. It's food for faith. It's your love letter to us, Lord. It's God, it reveals who you are. And so, God, we're asking this morning as we look into your word that, God, that there would be spiritual growth and development, that there would be a fresh sense of expectation, and that faith would arise this morning, and that we would lay hold of this word, that it would fall on good ground and bring forth much fruit. God, we're looking for more fruit in our lives. And God, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. So God, help us this morning. Help us to hear in our own language. I pray that each one hears what they need this morning. God, that each one here today would encounter you in such a way that, Lord, it isn't just coming together as a corporate expression to hear the gospel, but there would be personal attention given to each one. And we thank you that you're able to do that. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to begin in verse 31. I got my ordination papers. We get a re-up every year. And Pastor Pete and I through IM Ministries out in New York. And there was they always send a letter. It's usually by Pastor Jay. This one was by Brother Taylor, who's the president of the Bible school I went to. And he's since gone home to be with the Lord. But in that letter, it began with this particular parable that we're going to start with today. And I read this parable and read part of that letter, and it was like off to the races with revelation. And I think Pastor Pete felt the same thing as he began to read it. And it was, you know, isn't it neat how the Word of God can speak to us? I mean, somebody can write just a few words or a couple verses, and all of a sudden it just begins to open up by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's what I pray happens to us this morning as we look into the Word. It says, and another parable he put forth. This was in a series of parables that Jesus was teaching. And he says, and another parable he put forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, everybody say grown. Grown. But when it is grown, it is greater than all the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now, this here isn't just talking about natural growth. Herbs don't become trees. Amen? This began to hit me. they don't become trees. Herbs are herbs, trees are trees. Amen? You don't see an herb grow up and be an oak tree. And so he's talking about growth, but he's talking about a supernatural growth. He's talking about divine intervention in our growth process. Amen? He said, this is how the kingdom works. It's not like in the natural. Amen? This is a supernatural kingdom. And what he's saying here is that as we press into God, as we enter into his kingdom is his rule, his reign, his realm. It's wherever he gets to be king. Whenever we let him be king, that's where his kingdom is established in our lives. Amen? And he's talking about spiritual growth and development. And when he's looking at it from a spiritual perspective and looking at it from the sake of the kingdom, he's saying, listen, that this mustard seed, it starts as the smallest of all seeds. That's what the kingdom of God is like in us when it's sowed. But through supernatural intervention, through supernatural impartation and encounters with God in the growth process, through his word, through worship, through prayer, through fellowship, the various means that God's given us, amen, for our growth and development, he says that it grows up. When it is grown, it's greater than the herbs and it becomes a tree, something that's solid, something that's well-rooted, something that's founded, amen, to the point where the birds of the air can come and land on it. In other words, I believe the expression that God is looking for here is for us to be so rooted and so grounded in Christ, to be growing spiritually, amen, and pursuing him and loving him, to be so grounded that it benefits other people. Other birds of the air, other can come and land on us. Its branches are available. You see, what we get in God isn't supposed to be kept a secret. Amen? In fact, discipleship is the word. He said, go into all the world. He didn't just say preach the gospel, but he said make disciples. And so God wants us to be discipleship-minded. He wants us to have something to offer. Amen. As we grow, as we develop, he wants to take us from that tiniest seed, the kingdom that's within. He wants the kingdom of God, amen, for us to grow in kingdom reality, kingdom authority, kingdom power, kingdom love, kingdom joy, kingdom peace, all these attributes of the kingdom of God. He wants us to become so proficient at them that it attracts others to come to this tree that we grow into. Amen? God's looking for that spiritual growth and development. I'd never seen that before, where he says this herb grows up and becomes a tree. That automatically took me down the road of supernatural growth and development. And we're going to see what the Bible has to say about that just a little bit. In Matthew chapter 17, excuse me, I get into worship and then I lose my voice. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14, it says, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic. He suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. So Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? In other words, this man comes, there's a great need. His child is epileptic, and it's throwing him in a fire, it's actually a spirit that's causing these seizures and that's causing this manifestation in his life. And he brings him to his disciples. The disciples apparently prayed for him, but he didn't get better. So what do you do when you get prayed for and you don't get better? You quit praying, right? No. He said, I'm going to go to the source myself. Amen. It's good to get prayed for. It's good to get hands laid on you. It's good to obey the scriptures in that way. But if something don't happen, then you don't know what God's doing in your life. You don't know what God's timing is. We don't always know all the ins and outs of miracles. Sometimes God lets us in on it, and sometimes we don't know. But don't quit praying. Don't quit believing. Amen. Begin to press into God yourself. Amen. He brought his son into the very presence of the Lord, into Jesus himself. And Jesus' response, you kind of get the idea from his response that he was a little bit disappointed that the disciples couldn't handle it. That they had been with him. They had watched him. They were growing in kingdom reality, spending time with the king. And he says, O faithless and perverse generation, he's referring to this generation, said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. He goes, I'm going to show you how this is done. And it wasn't an arrogant showing. You know, it's interesting. I read a thing the other day where Time magazine said this about Jesus. They said Jesus was the most selfless, the most loving, the most humble, and the most compassionate person that's ever walked the earth. Time magazine said that. We get a lot of believers that don't recognize that. Amen? They said he was the most loving, he's the most compassionate, he's the most selfless, self-giving, sacrificing. of anybody that ever walked the earth. So Jesus wasn't coming here with arrogance. He was coming here with a sincere heart, trying to impart, trying to teach, trying to help his disciples, trying to help those that were witnessing this young man's father, this young man, trying to help them to grow and understand kingdom truth and kingdom reality. Amen? You know, when we go through things that we don't understand, or we go through things that are over our heads, or it doesn't make sense, or you don't see how anything redemptive can come from it, let that drive you to the Lord. He's the one that will work it together for good. He's the one that will show you his redemptive plan in it. He's the one that will bring about the change or the deliverance or the peace or the joy. There's something will happen in you as you trust him when things aren't happening the way you want or the way you've prayed. There's no spiritual voids. If we press into God, if we trust him in every area of our life, he won't waste anything. Amen? If we love him, he's not going to waste it. He'll work it together for good. We may not see it then, but there'll come a time, amen, where we will look back and we'll see the fruit of what we went through. We may not want to go through it again. And if we learn the first time, we may not have to go through it again. But God will not waste anything in our life. So then Jesus rebuked in verse 18 the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Rebuked the spirit, cast it out, and he was healed. Well, the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And I think Jesus appreciated that. He took kind of the rebuke to the generation. They took it. And they went to him and said, "Lord, they'd had a measure of success. They'd been sent out. They'd healed the sick. They'd cast out devils. Freely they had received. Freely they were given. But this one they couldn't do." Have you ever had that? Have a measure of success, but not success every time. That's okay. Keep going. Amen? The percentages will go up. Keep pressing in. So they went to Jesus, and it's a good thing to do when you got a question like this. Don't just say, "Well, I had a bad day," and move on. There might be something we can learn. And so they went to Jesus and said, "How come we couldn't do it, Lord? How come we couldn't cast him out?" And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." Unbelief was an issue in this particular situation. Now listen to this. He said, "I say to you, if you have faith as a what?" Well, see, I used to think if you just had the tiniest little bit of faith, just a mustard, I could tell you I got a mustard seed here and you wouldn't know the difference. It's so small. I don't, by the way, but I'm not going to lie to you, but you wouldn't be able to see it from there. It's so tiny. He said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Now, let me ask you this. Has he given to every man a measure of faith? Yes. Do you think you get at least mustard seed faith? Yes. Amen? So what's the problem? We don't understand mustard seed. When it grows up, it becomes the tree. Amen. So he said, "Listen, if you have this faith like a mustard, a kingdom deposit of faith in your life, like a mustard seed, keep pressing in, keep growing, keep growing, keep growing. And as you grow, nothing will be impossible to you." Amen. When you see certain things in the scriptures, it's good to chase them down, see where else they're used. And then all of a sudden it begins to, you always interpret the obscure in the light of the obvious in the scripture. Otherwise, you'd get all kinds of weird doctrine. Amen? But God wants us to understand these things. And you may have wondered, say, "Well, I know I've got a measure of faith. I'm born again. I'm saved. It took faith to get me saved. It took faith to help me trust Jesus with my salvation. And so why can't I do the impossible all the time?" Well, that's the mustard seed. Amen. And now, as it grows, it becomes the tree. As it grows, you can speak to mountains. and the impossible can be done. As it grows, amen, the kingdom of God, amen, is at hand. And God wants us growing in kingdom reality. He wants it to become an expression in our lives. And when we have an apparent failure, when things don't go the way we think they should, that's not the time to quit. That's the time to step back and say, well, Lord, I see I got a little more growing to do. Amen. I see I can stand a little more growth and development in my life. I can see I haven't reached the fullness of what you have for me, of what you died on the cross, what you shed your blood for. I haven't arrived there yet. God, give me more. God, I'm hungry for more. I'm thirsty for more. This is my prayer. Amen. You say, well, you're a pastor. I'm a pastor that's been doing this just long enough to know that I'm ready to begin. Amen. The riches of Christ are unsearchable, the Bible says. His ways are past finding out apart from divine intervention, apart from the Spirit of God revealing things to us. So the herb, mustard seed, herb became a tree. Here he says, if you have faith, it's a grain of mustard seed that's progressively growing. Amen. Did the disciples have faith? He said they couldn't cast it out because of their unbelief. Well, we knew they had faith. The signs and wonders they were already experiencing, their faith in God, they were following him. They left everything they had and they were following him. Amen. They had tremendous faith. But this particular thing that they met, this demon that they encountered here, needed a little bit more. Amen. And Jesus said, if you have the faith, in other words, if you've got the kingdom kind of faith, don't let it slow you down. Don't let it stop you. Just keep growing. Just keep growing. Amen? Amen. I think this is good. I don't know about you, but this is some stuff that I had never seen. I love it when God begins to show me some new stuff. Amen? Now, maybe you've known this all along, and you should have been preaching this morning. Let me know, because we can have you up here next week, because I love to learn. But see, the kingdom of God, it's forcefully advancing. It's forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Amen. It isn't a walk in the park. Amen. We can just settle for where we are. We can just, you know, kind of get saved and hang on and hope we can hang on until Jesus comes. And, you know, I think heaven's going to look a lot different if we do that. Amen. This is our time, amen, to practice for heaven. You know what's going to be going on in heaven? Worship. It's going to be a lot of worship. You say, well, I've had people ask me, why do you have worship in the church? Why do you give so much to worship to the presence of the Lord? We're getting ready for heaven. Amen. We're joining, amen, the choirs of heaven Sunday morning. There's going to be a lot of worship going on in heaven. Amen. It's going to be a lot of life in heaven. There's going to be a lot of love in heaven. Amen. Let's practice it here. Isn't that Jesus said, by this, all men will know you're my disciple, by the love that you have for one another. Amen. We're supposed to love him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love one another. Amen. Some people get saved, and then they just shut down and say, I just can't wait to get to heaven. Well, let's get a little heaven on earth. Amen. Jesus said, when you pray, pray that my kingdom come and my will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. God wants an open heaven over this place. So let's practice with some of the stuff that's going on in heaven. Amen. Nobody's sick in heaven. You know that? No more sickness, no more dying, no more crying. Nobody. How about let's get in some life? Let's practice. What's going on? We've got the first fruit. See, we've got the down payment. He's given us the Holy Spirit. So what's he saying? I'm giving you a little bit of heaven on earth for you to experience here that will make you really hungry for it later. But it will also depend on where we are in heaven and what we're doing in heaven. We're not going to just go to heaven and do nothing. It's not just sit around and, you know, we really don't have a clue. Eye hasn't seen, ear heard. I mean, when it comes to that realm, it can only be by revelation, amen? But trust me, we're going to have things to do. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful, amen? It's going to all center around the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but it isn't just lay back on a big armchair and put on your favorite show and, endure eternity with no attacks. Amen. That's not, no, there's no attacks in heaven. There's no enemy in heaven. But there's a glorious kingdom that God wants us to be a part of that transcends here. Amen. I'm getting off subject now. I got to get back. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You know, everyone has got a measure of grace. By grace, we're saved, not of works. Amen, lest any man should boast. We've been, grace, I believe, is the bucket that catches faith, that enables us to be born again. Amen. It all starts with Him. There's nothing we can do to earn it or work for it. We got to believe and enter in. And then we need to live a life of the good works that we were created for as it flows from within. That's how the kingdom works, from within outward. Amen? It's not setting up under a bunch of laws, a bunch of do's, a bunch of don'ts, but when the kingdom of God is operating within, the most natural thing in the world to do is to start overcoming sin. Amen, embracing the cross when it relates to the flesh and wanting to live a life that would be pleasing to God. Amen, and we can only do that by the empowering of His Holy Spirit and by the grace that God's given us. And He says, to each one of us has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift, grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, He says, when He ascended on high, now we're going to have communion in a little while, and this is talking about some things that were going on behind the scenes when Jesus was crucified, His atoning work and His redemption for our lives. Paul's writing about this in the church, to the church at Ephesus. The book of Ephesus is quite a deep book if you really can see what the writer is saying here by the Holy Spirit. He says, therefore, he says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and He gave gifts to men. Now, in the Old Testament, when there was a battle, a lot of times what the kings would do, what the rulers would do, would they would take their captives captive and they would parade them back to the ones that were alive. They would parade them, and they would become their slaves, actually. They would parade them back to their home country as a defeated foe, okay? And they would be... sometimes the king would even put their foot on the opposing king's throat as a sign that now they were subject to them. So Jesus is saying, listen, I led captivity captive. When He went to the cross, He says, now that He ascended, so what does it mean? But He also first descended to the lower parts of the earth. He was defeating the enemy. These 3 days, in the power of the atonement, by the shedding of His blood, in the spiritual environment that He entered into, He went to that place where the enemy dwells. Amen? He ascended. He descended. He covered every part of creation, amen, through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, and brought everything into subjection to Him. He led captivity captive. He ascended. He descended. He defeated the flesh. How's that play out to us? Okay, we don't have kings and rulers parade through, but the flesh is an enemy of ours. Amen? It's been crucified. Said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Flesh was dealt with. Sin was dealt with on the cross. Amen. The wrath that was due us, He bore the price and He released us from the power of sin and its effects. Amen. The devil was defeated on the cross. Sickness was defeated. Disease was defeated. Amen. Every enemy, every foe, He made an open show of them, it says in Colossians, triumphing in them over it, that is through the cross. Amen. So what He's talking about is when He said He ascends, what does it mean? But He also descended to the lower parts of the earth. In other words, there was no place the enemy can hide. Through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, there was no place he could hide. He was hunted down and defeated. And he descended also is the one who ascended far above all the heavens. Think about it. Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven. Caught up into the glory of God in the third heaven, and I heard things I can't even speak. It's just, there's no point. There's no understanding for it. Can you imagine? Paul caught up into the third heaven, encountered God in his glory in that realm. Moses goes up into a mountain, encounters the glory of God. Different people, amen, within the veil encountered the glory of God. But notice what Jesus did here. The one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Amen. The highest heaven he entered into. And he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. These are fivefold giftings, fivefold gifts, gifting ministries that he gave. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Amen. And he gave them for a purpose. He gave us for a purpose. Okay? Now let's see what it is. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. In other words, as a pastor, my role is to equip you to do the work of ministry. Isn't that what Jesus did for the disciples? That's what your role is with your children. That's what your role is with your family. That's what your role is with your community. That's what your role is in your workplace. That's what your role is, amen? Wherever God has you, that's our role. That's our job, amen? He said, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, we're to build each other up. We're to encourage each other, build each other up in the faith. Amen. This is all in the plus column. What God has sent these fivefold ministry in for, amen, was for spiritual growth and development. Amen. To build each other up. How long? How long will these ministries be in effect? Till we all come, verse 13, to the unity of the faith. I'm talking about a unity that we have yet to taste. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, how much? To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I can't hardly read that. That is so powerful. Amen. I almost feel like I'm not adequate enough to read what God has invited us to here. Like I just don't know enough to be able to speak these words and somehow see them imparted to you to raise the bar enough, amen, this morning, to see the bar raised enough, amen. Aim for the impossible, amen, with that mustard seed faith. He said, listen, until we all come to the unity of the faith, okay, we can see that a little bit, to the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, he's talking about a revelation knowledge of the Son of God like we have never experienced. A knowledge of the Son of God until we are a perfect man. That means absolute maturity. Paul's prayers, some of his teachings, I mean, we gloss over them. We read them, but they're so past our reference points, we don't even stop there. But we're going to stop there a little bit this morning. Amen. I want to re-enter this into our vocabulary, into our faith, amen, into our passion, into our goals, amen, that God has set for us. Till we come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. It says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul prays in Ephesians. He said he prayed that they would know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. Ephesians 3. He wanted them to know the unknowable. Know the love of God that goes beyond knowledge. And that they would enter in, that they would know the fullness and enter into the fullness of God. Amen. As personified in Jesus is what he's saying. Jesus is the fullness of the whole Godhead bodily. Okay? We've got a reference point. He said, listen, I'm praying for you in Ephesus that you know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, which is critical, by the way, for the next part of the revelation, and that you would know the fullness of God. And then he says, and that God would do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. When you think you've got there, when you think you know something, he says, I pray that God would do exceedingly abundantly above and just keep you going. Amen? When you think you've arrived, that's where you're going to plateau. When you think, man, I've got everything I need now. No, we haven't got off the runway yet, folks. Amen? Unless you're like Jesus, unless you have entered into the fullness of God, unless the atonement is fully operating in your life and mine, there's room to grow. Amen? Oh, this is good. He said that we should no longer be children. I'm preaching to me too, by the way. That's why I'm saying this. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. What are kids like? They fight. They argue. I heard parents trying to control their kids during worship practice this morning. Amen. They do. You don't have to tell a kid to get in trouble. You don't have to tell them to be selfish. You don't have to tell them to take something from somebody else. It's the nature. Amen. We have to learn. We have to grow in the way of the kingdom, which where we learn to share, learn to love, and learn to. Amen. We see it. We got a Christian school here. Amen. Made up of children. And we got some adults. That what he's saying here is, look, don't be adult kids. You should no longer be children, spiritually speaking. You should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every doctrine. In other words, don't be gullible. Don't be easily sucked into the things of the world. Don't be gullible. Don't be easily sucked into heresies or cultic behavior or the occult. Amen? He's saying, look, don't be easily led astray. Recognize danger. Have enough of God on board to perceive danger. Amen. Don't take unnecessary risks. Amen. When I was a kid, I thought I was bulletproof. I did things and went on rides and did things and drove ways that I would never dare to do now. And it's God's mercy that got me here to today. Amen. And you're looking at me like, oh, man, well, you're the same way. Most of you did the same thing, amen? I was born at night, but not last night, amen? Some of you are still doing it. But listen, he's saying, listen, I don't want you to be, I want you to grow up. I want that herb to become a tree. I want you to grow up, amen? He says, but speaking the truth in love may what? Oh, that was weak. May grow up. Okay, you're getting it. All right. May grow up in all things into him who is the head. Where are we growing up into? Into him. Amen. Who we foreknow, we also he predestined to be conformed to the image, the exact likeness, essence, amen, of Jesus Christ. Everything points to him. All spiritual growth and development, amen, is becoming more Christ-like, amen, entering into the fullness of what he would have. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in some things. Ooh, good. May grow up into a few things. All things into him who is the head, in case we ever get confused, who runs the show. He's the head, okay? Who is the head? Christ. From whom the whole body, joint and knit together under this head, by what every joint supplies, we all have something to give. We all have something to offer. I don't care if you were saved 5 minutes ago. Amen. We've got something to offer. God's given gifts. God's given talents. God's given of his nature, of his character. You've got a testimony if you're born again. You've got something that you can give. When that whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And when every part steps up and does its share, it causes what? Growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You can help me grow. Hopefully I can help you grow. Amen. As we do what God has called us to do, as we fulfill God's plan and purpose for our life. Amen. I learn a lot of things from you guys. I do, in conversations, seeing how some of you act, seeing some of you just so easily loving on people and love to greet people. There's some things that come easy for you that don't necessarily come easy for me. But I can learn. And hopefully you pick up one or two things from me in the process. And together, amen, together we become a well-oiled, Holy Ghost-oiled machine that's growing for the edifying of itself in love. There's more. I'm going to close with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 9, through the end of Corinthians. No, I'm just kidding. I said the word close, and I knew you were getting excited. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 9. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen. Talking about the natural eye here, optic vision. Nor ear heard, our natural ears, these things that hang on the side of our head, amen. Nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. You can't see it with your eyes, you can't hear it with your ears, it can't even enter your heart apart from that divine intervention that takes a mustard seed to a tree. God stepping in by revelation. It says in verse 10, but God has what? Revealed. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Bible says, deep is calling unto deep. All thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. Amen. It's the deep things of God calling for the deep things within us and totally being immersed, amen, in the presence of God, in the glory of God, until we begin to see some things, till we begin to hear some things, till we begin to understand some things and begin to move in a kingdom dynamic that we didn't even know was available. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, eye has not seen, neither ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So we just can't know. They're beyond us. They're unattainable. They stop right there. But verse 10 says, but God has revealed. Reveal them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God can show you what you can't get with the natural eye and the natural ear or even in your own heart. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man and what is in him? And even so, no one knows the things of God except by the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. There is a spirit of the world. Whether you realize it or not, you battle it every day. I battle it every day. That's probably the most overlooked one on the planet. The spirit of the world that wants to draw us and distract us. It can be good things. Sometimes we've got to give up the good for the best. Amen? We know we need to have the flesh crucified. We know we need to give up sin. We know we need to turn our back on the enemy. But sometimes you've got to give up the good for the best if you want more of God. We've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Amen. That we might what? Know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Amen. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Amen. There's more. There's more to learn. There's more to know. These things we also speak not in our words, which man wisdom teaches, but by the which is the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. One of the biggest problems, hindrances to spiritual growth, is trying to naturally understand spiritual truth and incorporate it in your life. You naturally reason it through, but you don't include the Spirit of God. There needs to be revelation. Now, God doesn't bypass our minds all the time. We have the mind of Christ, as it's going to tell us in just a couple verses. God uses our minds. God uses our body, soul, and spirit. Amen? It's all been set apart from Him. But we can't limit it to our natural understanding. We can't limit it to the spirit of this world and the way the world processes. Amen. God has a much higher realm that we can operate in if we look to Him and His Spirit. He says here, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. There it is. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. You ever witness to somebody and share the gospel and they just look at you like you're foolish? You know, if God isn't drawing them, if they're not at that place where they're hungry at that point, they'll look at you like you got two heads. Because these things are spiritually discerned. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they have foolishness to him, nor can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now you would think, if you stop there, which is true, we don't know the mind, we can't instruct him. We're not qualified. We're not operating in that league. He says, but we have the mind of Christ. You know, Moses changed the heart of God towards wiping out his people through intercession. We can have a lot more influence if we're motivated by the right spirit. In fact, I believe some things God's waiting to release in your families, into the earth, amen, onto this planet. God is waiting to release. His eyes are searching to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for somebody to stand in the gap, someone to intercede, someone to get a hold of this truth, amen, and begin to believe it and begin to act on it so that he has resources in the earth that he can flow through and receive the glory that's due his name. So that herb becomes a tree that lodges other birds. Amen. You know, the Lord was showing me something this week. If I was to try to preach a message on every problem that we could all face individually with our personalities and the diversity of who we are and some messes we've got ourselves into and others that we stumbled into and others we didn't ask for, they just come on us. I mean, if I was to try to isolate, and I know a lot of people that do that, and we do have to address things from time to time. But you know, I think I could preach one message that would take care of every single problem you could ever go through or ever face, and it would be relevant. Pastor, how do I get out of this? Pastor, how do I get free from this? Pastor, how do I make this stop? How do I make this pain go away? How do I get victory over this addiction? How do I know that I'm loved? I mean, it goes on and on. I could spend until Jesus comes going on and on over things that we face. But you want to know, to me, there's a sure way out of it all. You outgrow it. You outgrow it. Amen. I had a teacher at Bible school one time. And he drew a picture of a big pit. He wasn't an artist, he was like me. But he drew a stick man in the bottom of that pit. I mean, and this thing was a huge pit. And the guy cries out, "How do I get out of this pit that I'm in?" And then he showed a picture of a big stick man stepping out of the pit. You seen that commercial where they got kids taller than the Empire State Building going back to school, buying the, that gets me, they're stepping in rivers and going over, you know. Well, in other words, but what he's saying is he outgrew the pit. He had enough in God. He pressed into God. He was learning things. They were being spiritually revealed to him. He knew that God was the answer. He pressed in. And have you ever noticed since you've been saved that some of the things that used to really trip you up when you first got saved, they don't even register anymore? Howie's smiling back there. I mean, he knows what I'm talking about. Some of those things, man, if we never got victory over them, we'd be in prison today. Amen? Some of those things when we first got saved, now they don't even make a ripple in our day. Why? Because we grew. Amen? We grew. I'm telling you, a sure way out of whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, is up. It's growing up. Now, you can go home and you can tell your pastor, "What did your pastor preach on today? He told me to grow up." He told me to grow it up, grow up. But I am. I'm telling all of us this morning that one sure way out. Now, there's certain things that God will give us to help navigate through things. But this one sure way out is total faith and confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the power of his blood, the victory that he won over every opposing force. Amen. And as we enter into that victory, and as God begins to spiritually reveal things to us, that's how we navigate through, and that's how we overcome, and that's how we grow up and get victory over areas in our life. And we all need to. Now, one thing that can discourage you, if you look at someone else and you think, "Man, they're just so far ahead of me. You know, they just seem to be growing a lot faster." Well, not necessarily. What you see may appear that way, but that's not necessarily true. The Bible says, he that compares himself with others is unwise. The only one that we're to look to is Jesus. Now, if others inspire you and others encourage you and others edify you, yeah, hone in on them. Only as they follow Jesus. Amen? We can learn from each other. But don't compare yourself and then get discouraged. I'm a pro at that. I'll hear somebody preach. I'll say, "Man, they're good. I wish I was going to their church." "Oh, wait a minute. I got to go back to mine. You know, I can't do that, you know?" And I was really discouraged this week. Cheryl was trying to build me up and edify me. Every once in a while, I just go through bouts of things that just come on, just attacks that come on. And I've learned now that you don't even really necessarily need anything to have it happen. It's just an attack. And Cheryl and I went in to see that movie out, Overcomer. If you get a chance to see it, go see it. Powerful movie, okay? Christian movie, great movie. The Kendricks brothers produced it. And we went in, and we got there early. And from when we left here, we got there a little bit early. So we bought some popcorn, got extra butter. I'm not trying to make you hungry, but we don't do it enough, you know. So when I get it, I want extra butter. And I don't eat salt, but when I have popcorn, we put tons of salt on. I'm confessing my sin before you. So we were sitting there and we were eating, and all of a sudden, I'm looking at her, she's across the table, like, "Pastor Gary, is that you?" And I mean, there was only like four people in the thing, you know, in the lobby. And I'm like, and I look at him and I'm like, I know I should know him. And then his name came to me. We had him actually, he's a pastor, And he came, and I had him speak at one of our men's breakfasts. He was a former special service. He was in the Marines and in Special Forces, George Jackman. And he came over and he had his wife with him. He goes, "Oh, I want you to meet my wife." I introduced Cheryl to him, and we started talking. And then he just starts telling me all the ways that I mean something to him. I met him like twice. I mean, we was at the men's breakfast, and then we had breakfast a couple times together. He was going through something. I helped him navigate through. He's kind of new in the ministry. And then he starts telling me all the revelation he got when I spoke at his men's breakfast. Now, I'm in there just dying, wanting to see a movie. Let's just start again tomorrow, Lord. You know, I knew these movies by the Kendricks brothers are always faith builders, so I thought we're headed in the right place. Cheryl's praying for me, And he goes, "You know, we're vacationing in North Conway, and we put on the GPS. We wanted to go to the main mall, and we can't get there. We wound up here. So my GPS wouldn't get me to the main mall. It was here." He goes, "I know why now. God wanted us to meet." And he's pouring into me, right? And he's saying, "When you spoke at the men's breakfast," I'm like, "I'm reading this, but I don't see this." He goes, this is more than I've ever seen. This is good stuff. And so he went through the men, but what he did after is he began to press into God. He knew there was more. And he said, "Man, it changed my life. It changed my ministry." He goes, "Honey, I want you to meet the guy." And I'm sitting there thinking I'm worthless at that point. You know, when you're being oppressed and getting beat up and getting, it's like, "Lord, do I, you know, roll over and hope for another day or what do, you know?" And he's just, in fact, I felt uncomfortable. He was saying so much. I'm like, "God, there isn't that much good in anybody." You know what I mean? He was, and I told Cheryl after, I said, "Honey, that makes me feel." He goes, "You are just so full of the glory of God. The glory of God is all over you. Man, you know, and you've got such an anointing," he said. And he kept saying that, "You're so anointed. You're so," I'm like, "This guy's in Special Forces. I can't shut him up, you know." But I'm like, but it took a long time for me to think that maybe I had something in God still. And he just, and I realized that probably why he was still going was because I wasn't receiving it. You know, maybe a false humility, I don't know, but I'm like, "Man, don't let anybody hear you just keep saying, I'm so anointed, I'm so anointed, I'm so anointed." And then something came to me. One of our intercessors here years ago called me on the phone. "Pastor Gary, what's going on? Lord woke me up in the night, told me to pray for you. You know, you're anointed. God's anointed you. I mean, you've got an anointing." She started going on about the anointing of God. And I'm going, I told Cheryl, I said, "That makes me feel uncomfortable. You know, because it's all about him." But I realized that's what the anointing is it's him. It's what they're perceiving of him in my life. Amen? And God messed up his vacation. He couldn't even get to the mall and sent him there because we were sitting in that lobby to see us. And Cheryl and I both knew that was God. Then he invited me to speak at like three of their churches and their Bible school. And they got to hear what you've got. And they got to, and I'm like, you know? But you know what it did? It made me want to have more. It made me hungry for more. It made me see that I can go from a herb to a tree. That we can go from a mustard seed to a tree, and we really can be a blessing to other people. Now, this guy's probably he's probably got churches bigger than this. He pastors over other pastors now. He's started different works. But any little seed that we can sow, you never know what God's going to do with it. Amen? God wants us to come into his fullness. He wants us to grow up in him and to him in all things. I'd like to have the elders come at this time. I want to have communion. And beloved, there's no other way to get there but through the cross. There's no other way to get there. Have Pastor Pete come and it's because of his sacrifice. It's because of his selflessness. You know, I'm glad Jesus didn't live by feelings and emotions. Do you think he felt like going to the cross? You know, if you ever want to, I'm getting older, so God's simplifying things for me so I can understand them, I think. But you know, we tend to live in a culture that wants to blame God for all the bad stuff and never give him credit for any of the good. They just got to have a place, a source for the blame and the hurt. But in Genesis, we find out where all the bad stuff come from. First book of the, read the first three chapters, you can find out where all the bad stuff come from, who, where the root is, where it all flows from, where the sin nature flows from, all the things that we battle, all the things that we face and torment us, where it comes from. God's a good God. And if you're ever wondering if God's good, then take communion. Look at the cross. Look what this represents. Do it in remembrance of him. He came and he loved us so much that he hung on a cross. He took our sin. He took our shame. He took all of our unrighteousness, all of our filthy rags. Amen? Sicknesses, diseases. Wherever you are in that development of faith, amen, it all flows from the atoning work of Jesus Christ. We're going to take communion together this morning in remembrance of him. Amen. Just go ahead and as Pastor Pete leads.